One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes.
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
I wish somebody had told me when I entered my first year of Baylor that I could live by faith. I didn't know that. I had to stumble through till I found out. I didn't know that the Lord was all I needed for my mind and my body and my soul. I didn't know that He was really just the same yesterday, today, and forever. The thought came to me, God is. And then the question came, well, what is He? The world didn't know. So I'm going to tell the part of the world that'll listen to me what God is. I'm going to give you 8 or 9 things. Now, a lot of people would love to have the characteristics of Jesus, but they don't have His character. And until we have His character, we can never have His characteristics. And until we become a Christian, we can never live a Christian life. We've got too much beating around the bush that makes religious people out of folk. But we need to make saints out of sinners. And that all starts with a new birth. The best you can do just won't do. And this old world is getting so tired of trying to go to heaven until it's just about to quit trying. But brother, you don't get to heaven by trying. You get to heaven by trusting. I don't believe there's anything in me that's holy apart from Christ. I never lived a holy moment in my life until I met Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe we ought to be holy, not in order to go to heaven, but because we are going to heaven. Dear friend, I can only claim holiness as I claim Him as my Savior. The only holiness I've ever had. Because He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies holy unto God, a living sacrifice, holy. Now that I know is W-H-O-L-L-Y and H-O-L-Y, but there's been no W-H-O-L-E until there's H-O-L-Y. The thing that makes us whole is His holiness. Yes. So whether you be a Methodist or a Catholic or Presbyterian or Baptist or Assembly of God, don't depend on your tag to take you to heaven. You can't go to heaven by a brand or a mark unless it's the mark of the blood of Jesus. Amen. Death, burial, and resurrection.
Now let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we're so glad for the privilege of coming into the throne room before we try to offer anything to Thy children. We believe the people have come out of a sense of hunger and thirst after righteousness. And You said when we came like that, You'd fill us. So Father, we plead for the filling. Grant that none shall be turned away empty, that every heart shall be loaded with heavenly benefits. We pray that the sweet holy hush of God may fall upon the service, and that all of us shall receive that which Thou hast prepared for us this day. So give us liberty and unction. Lord, I do not plead any seniority or any righteousness of my own, but simply I plead the blood over the service and my own unworthiness and unfitness, and ask you, Lord, to come and be our sufficiency and our all in all. Give us just the message that would please and honor God and edify the people of God and win the lost to Christ. So bless the radio audience. We know there must be at least 100,000 people that will be somewhere in a car or in an office or in a home or in a hospital or on a boat or in a plane listening to this message. And so help us, Lord, to know that eternity is upon us now, and help us to do our best for Thee. Oh, take away from us all of ourselves and leave only Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn in your Bible to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. And it's chapter 11. Now in verse 10, chapter 10, verse 38, we find the fourth time this tremendous verse recorded in the Word of God. We find in Habakkuk, in Romans, in Galatians, and in Hebrews 10:38, these precious words, the greatest challenge in the Bible: now the just shall live by faith. Now that's the only way Christians have ever been supposed to live. And if you're Christian, you're justified, and now the just shall live by faith. Now, if you don't think that's important, you wait until I read the 11th chapter, at least the portion. There are 40 verses, and I wish that every Christian would memorize chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. I wish that you'd tuck it away in your heart, that you might not sin against God. For you could close your eyes, or in the darkest of the night, without a Bible or without a light, you could quote these 40 wonderful verses. I wish every Christian would memorize Romans chapter 8. Everybody memorize Romans chapter. I wish every Christian would memorize Psalm 51, greatest heartthrob of repentance that's ever been uttered from the lips of man, coming from a man who was guilty of the two most terrible crimes and sins that anybody could ever commit on the face of this earth, though they seem to be glorified now. And it seems to be a little nearer right, if not altogether right, to do what David did, but not in God's sight. Has it ever been right? Or will it ever be right? No matter what our colleges and psychiatrists and psychologists, no matter what our fools without Christ are saying today, sin, still sin, it always brings forth the undertaker because he comes to bury. Oh, the wages of sin is death. 35 years ago, when this ignorant, green, sick, timid, scared, trembling country boy made his way to Baylor's campus in this city, I knew then, and God told me then, that sin was black and hell was hot, and that eternity was long, and Christ was real, and heaven was so, and the Bible was true. God told me that, even though I was ignorant and didn't understand and couldn't explain as much of it as I can now, because not that much was revealed to me. But dear friends, I'm thankful to God that this little old preacher that stands here in this same city where I came away to Baylor, and as you know, worked my way through school those 4 years, I'm glad I haven't had to change my message, not one time. I'm glad God hasn't said, now, son, you're a little warped about sin. It's not as bad as you said it was. And I want you to know that we've whitewashed it a little bit and we've cleaned it up. And I want you to know you're a little narrow-minded and too fanatical. And I want you to let up a little and pull down here. And so, no, he never has. But it seems to me I can hear that constantly saying, that voice from heaven say, tell them sin's just as awful as it ever was. Tell them that the wages is still just what it's always been. And you're going to reap just what you sow. And the more you sow of the devil's seed, the more you're going to reap of the devil's this confusion and disturbance and destruction. I call your attention to that wonderful chapter, chapter 11, and then bring to you the message. Now. Yes, dear friends, right now, I'm thankful I've met a now God. A lot of people talk about the sweet by and by.
And some talk about the days of yesterday and the days that are gone, the good old time. Let me tell you something, dear friends. These are our days right now. These are days of tremendous opportunity. The blacker it gets, the more they need the light. And it's not enough just to pacify or satisfy ourselves by saying it's just getting harder every day. And I believe, though, that men still need Jesus, and we can reach them somehow, and we're to be busy, and the results must be left in God's hands. Now, faith is. Now, that's when faith is supposed to work. Faith never worked yesterday. Faith might prepare you for tomorrow, but it doesn't work tomorrow. Faith always works right now. Now, if you'd say, well, I believe my faith is going to go in gear, your faith ought to be in gear now. Brother, while you're breathing, you're living. My mother used to say, and our old family doctor said it to her, Dr. B.W.D. Hill, Ms. Roloff, during serious illness, when medical science in its day had done all it could, and yet sometimes I think the simple remedies of those old-fashioned doctors did just about as much as all the medical and all the miracle drugs of this hour. We've got better hospitals, but they got more people in them. This is the sickest generation that ever lived on American soil. We've done everything in this country but improve our spiritual condition, our mental condition, our physical condition, and our soil condition. There are two things that's rotten in America, and we're doing nothing about it. The soul and the soil have been spoiled. Those two things, and until the president and the leaders of our nation begin to take a genuine interest in the simple things that God has given us, we're goners. We are a lost nation. We're in the final stages of decay right now, and everybody knows it. Now, you could raise a lot of questions, and I'd have to answer them, therefore I cannot go further into it, except to say the old-timers that used to live 70 and 80 and 90 years, they might live that long now, some of them, not many, but they lived back there then with no expense. They had no hospitalization. They never went to the drugstore unless it was to get a bottle of castor oil. That was about the simplest remedy and about the only one they had. And I still believe, if I could just make one more statement, castor oil would do more for the average American than all the miracle drugs he's taking. If we got our system clean on the inside, I mean kept it that away, I believe that health would be the result. I believe that's true spiritually. The preachers used to give castor oil on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And you talk about a purging, brother. We had a purging. Amen? And then the people got healthy spiritually and lived for God. You know what's wrong with us? I remember one time, and of course many times, I got sick and my mother would look at me. I'd try to stay as quiet as I could until the pain got so extreme, until my groanings got louder. And directly I heard those merciful feet and those precious hands coming down that old long hall. And my mother would turn in where I was sleeping, and she'd slip her hand across my brow and say, son, are you sick? And I said, yes, ma'am, I'm really sick. And then she'd say, and this is true, and she diagnosed my case in the dark. She said, son, you've been eating too much junk. Oh, now I didn't eat the junk on the farm. I'd been to town, see. And I want you to know I mixed up some tremendous concoctions. And I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. I used to think that the man who invented hamburgers was the greatest man that ever lived. I've found out a little different in later years. But I was sick, and she said, son, you've been eating too much junk. And if she called the old family doctor, Dr. B.W.D. Hill, great old Christian gentleman, one of the finest men that ever lived in Navarre County. He'd come, and he almost treated me in the dark. He didn't have to have anything but an old blue bottle of Calamo. Really? He'd take his little pocket knife and cut those little pieces of wax paper and take a knife blade and pick up the old Calamo and wrap it up. And said, Ms. Roloff, I want you to give Lester these about every 2 or 3 hours and let me know tomorrow how he is. And oh, brother. Now, I believe I'll leave it right there. Now, you might say like the dear old lady that said one time, she was talking back in the olden days and said, you know, I had a serious spell of sickness when I was a baby. One of the dear old simple sisters said, well, said, Dolor, said, did you live? She said, yes. Yeah. She said, they said I lived and done well. Now, I want you to know after he left, I barely lived, but I did do well after that. Dear friends, listen to me. What the church needs today is an old-fashioned purging. We're never going to have health again. We'll never have the glow of spiritual health again until we've had a purging. We've got to have some heavenly calomel or a bottle of spiritual castor oil, if you please. If order for our systems, spiritual systems, be cleansed of the evil habits and the ugliness and the laziness and the indifference. Listen, one of the reasons our people do not serve God, they don't have the strength to serve God. Paul said to the Ephesian church in 3:13-21 for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He would grant you according to the riches of his glory, be strengthened and might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. You might be rooted and grounded in love, be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and breadth, height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. And then he said, now unto him that is able. That's part of my text tonight. And now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, here's what he said. I'm praying. Now, they were getting a little disturbed because he was going through such a hard time. He said, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations, which is your glory. I mean, if I'm not going to faint, why would you faint? I mean, I've only got the knots on the head and the stripes on the back, and yet you're about to faint over my tribulations. Well, he said, I'm just going to pray God will strengthen you with might by the Spirit in the inner man. That's what we need right there. That's what we need. Let me tell you something. We'll never stand on the outside any better than we've stood on the inside. And our problem in America is not in the street. No matter what the president says in his committee, as he charged them to go to the street and find out what's making the boys and girls do what they're doing in the street. Let me tell you something. The thing that makes our boys and girls go to the devil in the street is what's happening in the living room in their home. And what hasn't happened in the living room, such as prayer and Bible reading and talking about God and reading the Word and memorizing Scripture. You mothers and daddies with these little babies in your arms, why don't you give your child a chance and let him know about Christ at an early age? The Bible said, train up a child. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Yes, our little children need what little chickens need. They need a brooder house and the proper feed. And when you give them that, they're going to respond and grow. Now, faith is. Let's come back to the text. Now, faith is. Now, what is it? Well, he said it's the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. You know, in my 5 years of preaching, I've found plenty of evidence to convince me. I mean, I know there's a lot of the Christian life you have to live by faith, but I tell you what, I've got a lot of it operating by sight now. I mean, I've just seen so much of the goodness of the Lord. Not, I mean, I started out by faith, but I'm about to wind up by sight. Well, faith is the substance of things, the evidence of things not hoped
the evidence of things not seen. But we've got a lot of substance, but we've got a lot of evidence. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That settles everything for me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Young people, don't pay attention to this bunch of infidels that sit up in the schoolroom, been off to college, and don't know any better than to think God didn't make everything. I mean, don't pay attention to this bunch of educated idiots that say that the Genesis plan of creation is not any good. We've ruled it. Let me tell you, as far as I'm concerned, it's still right in the middle of my book. I mean, I believe every bit of it, see? Why, they say, and it sounds sometimes maybe plausible to the natural mind, but not supernatural mind. They say now, there was a cell, there was a little cell. And they say that that little cell, whether it's a little mud cell or whatever it might have been, they said, now we started from one little cell. When I had just one thing, I got them tangled up in every time, and I said, where'd that cell come from? Oh, well, no older me, brother. You haven't hurt me yet. Just go ahead. You're the one's hurting, not me.
Yeah.
See? I want to know where that cell came from. Well, they said, you'll have to just take that for granted. I don't take nothing for granted except what God said. God told me how this thing came about, and it's the most plausible and the most reasonable thing that I know of in the land today. And through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that it pleased God. But, here's my text. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now then, the Bible says God is. And you got to believe that he is before you can come to him. Why would you want to come to somebody you don't believe exists? Now, I believe that God is. And I believe that this text, coupled with what Jesus said he was, he said, I am. We do not have a has-been God. We've not lived beyond the need of God. How could a nation so steeped in sin and war? Listen, I've never known of such violence and so many deaths. A lady, a man and her husband were on a ship, and that ship sank. And he went down, and she was rescued, but she said, if my husband is dead, then I too will go with him. And she plunged to her watery grave. Wouldn't it be fine if we'd get a generation of people to love Jesus like they love people and love things? Our love is dissipated unless it's directed toward the Lord Jesus Christ.
We are delighted that you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. Our message today was entitled, Faith Always Works. Now, if you'd like to receive this on a cassette or a CD, as for offer number, RO 3288, 3288, Faith Always Works is the title of the message. And we'd like to have today's date and the call letters to the radio station when writing. Also, to help with shipping and handling, we ask for $8 for the cassette, $10 for the CD. Now, if you'd like to order by credit card, you can call toll-free at 1-800-772-7507. Our address, the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. During the month of September, we are offering a biography of Brother Roloff written by Marie Roloff and Bobby Glenn. The offer number is RO119, and the title of the book is Lester Roloff in Life and in Death. Also, a double CD called Singing from the Heart,
offer number 2050. We've had many requests asking for the theme song of the Family Altar program, and that song is Stranger by the Sea, and you'll find that on this particular CD. When requesting this offer with Brother Wolof, singing the many songs on the double CD, and also the book on his life, ask for the September offer and include $25, which covers the CD and the book. To order by credit card, dial 1-800-772-7507 or write the Wolof Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. This is Gene Price, hoping you'll have a good day, and we're looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and he made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. They sat at his feet and they looked in his face, content in his presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and he made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee.